Amen. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 for a short message here. I realize the time is slipping away rapidly. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 1. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And let's just stop there for a moment. There seem to be some real paradoxical words there, some real opposites. He says how that in the great trial of your affliction and the abundance of their joy. So there you have affliction and joy in the same heart and in the same situation. You know, here they are, and it's a great trial of affliction, and yet in the trial of affliction there is abundance of joy. And in their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. I mean, that is tremendous. These people are outstanding in their Christian character and in their maturity in Christ. Because here they are, in great trial of affliction, and yet in abundance of joy. The Bible does say that when you fall into trials and diverse temptations, count it all joy, but I find that that's not always easy to do. But here they are, great trial of affliction and abundance of joy and deep poverty. Doesn't sound like they have a lot of goods on this earth, but in their deep poverty, yet abounded unto the riches of their liberality. You know, isn't giving and serving the Lord with a heart, isn't it more attitude than the amount of resources we have? Isn't that how it is? Haven't you found that to be true, brethren? You know, God loveth a cheerful giver. He doesn't say God loveth a giver that gives, you know, in great amounts. He said the old widow, she cast in more with her two mites than those who cast in out of their abundance. So it's a heart posture. And that just really blesses me as I look at this. And I look at our dear missionary families. You know, you might say, well, they don't have much, you know. There isn't, but the joy. The joy of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, being in the center of God's will, you know, it supersedes the trials and the afflictions. And I don't want to paint a picture here this morning that you think, well, I guess I can't have that then unless I go to Africa. No, my brother, my sister, we can have it right here also in a measure. It'll look a little different. It won't have the same shoes on, but it'll have the same application and it'll have the same effect in our hearts as we give ourselves for the kingdom of our Christ. Ah, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Hallelujah. You know, the liberality of the heart, it's just a joy. Well, let's go on. For their power, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. This wasn't somebody else's resource. This wasn't mission money, or this wasn't the church, you know, but this was of themselves. You know, they, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, you know. And this is speaking here of giving and blessing others. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. You know, here's a beautiful picture of ministering to the saints and of sharing together that there may be an equality. This they did, not as we had hoped, but at first of their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And now here's the verse that we want to zero in on and spend some time on. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Let's read that verse again. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Amen. Does God have anything for me to do? Does the Lord have any application of this scripture in my life? This morning, as we look at this message, I would like to entitle it "The Condescension of Christ." The condescension. The Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And as we look at Jesus Christ and we see the condescension of Jesus and we see where he came from and condescended from, though he was rich, I think of the Lord Jesus, who was with the Father from the beginning, who was with the Father in creation. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Lord Jesus Christ, from the beginning with the Father, was there with the Father in creation, as he was spoken, "Let us make man in our image." There is Jesus Christ with the Father from the beginning. And all things were created by him and for him. And before him all things consist. Then over in Hebrews he talks again about how God, having these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, who was rich with the Father in all of creation and all that was formed. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold is his. All the wealth is his. All the beauty and all of the authority. Everything is his. God has exalted his Son. He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. There is Jesus Christ in his riches with the Father. He said unto him, "Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." And let all the angels of God worship him. And he said unto the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." This he spake of Jesus. "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, all of these things shall wax old as a garment, as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." The Lord Jesus Christ was with the Father from the beginning. And in John 17 it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus says to the Father, "O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." There was Jesus with the Father. experiencing and sharing together with the Father the glory of the Father even before the world was. Oh, but he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was a lonely hill there on Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. In Proverbs 8, it talks about the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. And we could read a lot of verses there, but I'll drop down again. Proverbs 8, verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Though he was rich, the Lord Jesus Christ with his Father, with the relationship with his Father, a glorious relationship, a sharing together in the glorious beauties and wonders of the Almighty God. There he was with him. And he says, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Though he was rich. Philippians 2. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God, being one with God, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God to be God, who he is. There is Jesus Christ with the Father, in the form of God, equal with God. When was it that the Jews wanted to take up stones to stone him? It was when he said, I and my Father are one. And they said, you make yourself equal with God. That's why we're going to stone you. Not for some good work you've done. Not for some miracle that you've done. But because you make yourself equal to God. And you say God is your Father. Yes, Jesus Christ and the Father are one. If you've seen me, he said to Philip, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And there was Jesus with the Father from the beginning, from the foundation of the world, even before the world was. There he was from eternity past to eternity future, present. He's there always, all the time. And there he is with the Father from the beginning. So there he is in the richest and the splendor and the glorious relationship with his Father. Yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the riches and the glory and the comforts of his relationship and heavenly home with his Father, in that riches, though he were rich, yet he became poor. And why did he do it? Oh, it says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. For my sake, and for the sake of those many tribes and peoples and kindreds and tongues across the face of the whole earth, he became poor. For our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor. You know, I just can't fathom the condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ in perfect unity, harmony, glorious fellowship with his Father, condescending to come down to this sin-cursed earth. For your sakes he became poor. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But he created it all. But there's no room in the inn. A man said, I'll follow you. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. But he created the birds. He created the foxes. He created the materials with which they build their nests. He created it all. By him was everything created. There wasn't anything made that was made without him. But the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. the condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we turn over to Philippians 2? Turn in your Bibles over to Philippians 2, as we'll be spending some time there, as we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. For your sakes He became poor. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ. For your sakes, He became poor. In possessing the fullness of the attributes of God and being equal with God, He did not hold on to or grasp to hold on to His position with His Father. But rather He said, it says over in Hebrews, Lord, I delight to do Thy will, O God. A body hast Thou prepared me, and He gave Himself. He gave His body on that tree. He submitted Himself. He yielded Himself unto death, even the death of the cross. The condescension of our Lord Jesus. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant. But He's the King. He's the Creator. He's the Lord of Lords. But He said, not my will, but Thy will. And He said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. The condescension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did He do it? For your sakes. For my sake. For the gospel's sake. For humanity's sake. To redeem fallen mankind. He did it for the glory of His Father. He did it for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. He stripped Himself, made Himself of no reputation. All of His rightful dignity. Imagine. Thou be altogether born of fornication. The ridicule. The lies, the blasphemies they spoke against Him. Mocking Him, putting a crown of thorns on His head. Putting a purple robe on Him and striking Him and blindfolding Him and saying, who smote thee? Prophesy unto us. He stripped Himself. He emptied Himself. And He took on the nature of a servant. A slave. And was made in the likeness of sinful men. But He knew no sin. He was perfect. Spotless. The Lamb of God, Tanner. The sacrifice that would please the Father. The once and for all sacrifice. And He humbled Himself. And became obedient unto death. The condescension. The coming down and coming down. The most cruel death, the most despised way to die, crucified as a thief, as a transgressor. He condescended. His obedience carried Him. To the point of the cross. The death of the cross. And what doth the Lord require of me? If we turn over in Philippians to chapter 3 as we read a testimony of Paul, who was a Pharisee, very zealous, persecuting the church. And then here we have in verse 7 of Philippians 3, "But the things which were gained to me I counted loss for Christ." All those former things that were gained to me I count loss for Christ. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ." The testimony of Paul: "I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What does that mean for me? What does the Lord require of us? The Lord Jesus said, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Oh, there it is. It's the exchanged life. You know, not that my condescension can add anything at all to gain my salvation. Jesus paid it all. Hallelujah. But my condescension and my suffering and my coming down off of my own high, proud, lofty, whatever it may be, or my own agenda, my own goals, my own comforts, my own life, my own everything, emptying all of myself out for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving myself to Him, saying, "Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Send me." But you know, God can't use us unless we're willing to forsake all to follow Him. When He called His disciples, He said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What is the man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, when we think of life and the brevity of life, the shortness of life. I mean, so what? He gained the whole world, but lose his own soul. What shall it profit a man? But oh, the man and the woman, the child of God, who hates his own life and throws it away, surrenders, yields it unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Oh, the blessing and the joy and the gain of the eternal rewards and value that cannot be compared to anything in this world. I wonder, is there anything hindering me in my life from being effectual in the kingdom of our Christ and of God? Is it just the missionaries that should sacrifice? Or is there sacrifice for me too? Is there something that I can give up that would benefit the cause of Christ here in America? Or in Canada, or wherever you may be, Lancaster County, is there something that the Lord Jesus Christ is putting His finger on in my heart and saying, surrender, let it go, hate it as it were, count it loss. Why? For Christ. You know, I believe there is some things that God wants to do a deeper work in my own heart. One of the dangers of our easy American lifestyle is that we just get lulled to sleep. Everybody's a Christian. We're a Christian nation. We're all just going to heaven when we die. But are we? Are we really? When we really get serious with God and we really start examining the Word of the Lord, Brother Adam, Martin, and what the Scriptures say? Like Dean Taylor said, what if Jesus meant every word that He said? What if it's all true? What if it all requires an answer? Wow. Whenever we sing that song, 925, I'm a child of the King. A hut or a mansion, why should I care? I think of C.T. Studd. If you read his biography, there's a picture of him in his African, or no, it was a Chinese. Was it China? Or was it? It was China. Was it Africa? It was Africa. Sitting there in his little African hut. And then on the opposite page is the picture of his mansion. That was to be his inheritance. And he left it all. Houses and lands to go take the gospel. What have I left? What have I sacrificed for Jesus? And I'll say like Brother Adam said this morning, I'm speaking this to myself very much also. This message is for me. What sacrifice? What giving up? What surrender? So that others would be saved. And you know, in today's modern Christianity, it's like, well, you can take it or leave it. You know, some of those people were just really radical. Well, I don't know that you can. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Doesn't sound very optional there. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Oh, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels. See, for my sake, for Jesus' sake and the Gospels, the same shall save it. So I'm not sure how much more I should say here this morning, but I'm just challenged in my own heart. Is there any areas in my life that are a hindrance to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the furtherance of the gospel? Again, not by works of righteousness which we do. We cannot add anything. The atonement has been made. The price has been paid through the Son, God's perfect Son, the Lamb of God, for our sins. We don't save ourselves by offering ourselves. No, not at all. But when you're a child of the King, you offer yourself willingly to the Lord. A servant. I'm not my own. I'm bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus. Lord, tear these idols from my heart. Every idol from the throne of my heart. Lord, I give myself to You. Fully surrendered, Lord divine. I will be true to Thee. I think we'll just take a moment. If God is laying something on your heart this morning that you need to surrender at the foot of the cross for the sake of the gospel, why don't we just do that? Why don't we just get honest before the Lord? I was so blessed with a number of weeks ago some testimonies here of some young people and how God worked in their lives and put a vision and a burden for souls in their heart. I believe they were at a prison ministry, a crusade. And let's not let the enemy snatch away that good seed. You know what I mean? That burden for souls, that desire to see Christ Jesus exalted and glorified in the lives of people set free. Hallelujah. Can we just bow our heads? Father, we come in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You condescended. You left the glories of heaven to come down to this old sin-cursed earth and to give Your life. And then we see the example of our Apostle Paul, who left his glorious world, his religious world, and threw it away, gave it all up, that he might win Christ. Father, maybe there's someone here today. They're holding on to things that they need to throw away. Count them as dung, that they might win Christ. The fullness of Christ. The blessing of Christ. The fellowship of Christ. The power of the resurrection. And yes, it may cause suffering too. The fellowship of His suffering. Lord, cause Your Spirit to search my heart, our hearts here today, that we may make a willing offering unto our God, for He is worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll turn it over to Brother Paul to lead on as he sees fit.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for sharing about the glory of Jesus. Praise God. God, speak to somebody's heart here today and you want to share with us. Maybe giving a testimony is a way that you can give something up. Your own reputation or your pride or somebody have a word today that God spoke to you, a confession or a testimony.
Praise the Lord for the message. For the first one was very good for me. I was very blessed. to see my position in Christ afresh and learn and grow in that love of Christ. But one thing that I wanted to share was being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I was just meditating on how he came down from the glory of God, from a beautiful place of joy, and came to us sinners, prodigal sons per se, to seek for us, to save us. And I was just thinking about that myself, and a challenge by, am I willing to leave my comfortable couch at home, or whatever comfort I have, or fun that I might experience, just to go seek somebody that's lost and show them the love of Christ? It's not even close to what Jesus did for us. It's not even a comparison to what Jesus left to come to us, to save us, to seek for us sinners. So I'm challenged this morning with that. We would leave our comfort zones.
Amen. Is there another hand? In the back there, one up here.
Yes, I've been convicted in the area of surrendering everything in the sports and baseball. It's been an obsession for me, so where is really my passion and hunger? Is that for things of the world or for the things of Christ and His Word? So please hold me accountable for that. You know, I'm doing that area, especially in baseball. That's an obsession for me.
Amen. Let that go. I was thinking about it this morning. I think I prayed it in the prayer room. I said, thank you, Lord. And you know, there's some people, all they get to do today is go to a basketball game or a football game. I get to go and be with God's people. That's so much better. He always wins.
It was very good to be here this morning. I especially appreciated Brother Adams talking about the identity issue, and it's something that I've spent quite a bit of time thinking about in as God has asked me in the last months to give up some of the things that I felt were my identity, and learning to believe that He really does delight in me, and that even though I know that I have been a disappointment to some people in my life, and concentrating more on what He thinks about me and my identity in Him. The earlier part of this week was a time again where I needed to grieve some losses and changes in relationships, but it kind of went on into thinking about the fact that the Christian, I mean, we do need to grieve, but we don't have rights to feel that. But I was reading in a back issue of The Heartbeat of the Remnant that poem or whatever about dying to self, and about when you're forgotten or neglected or purposely set at naught, and You don't sting and hurt with the insult or the oversight, but your heart is happy being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. And then there was a whole list of other things, and that my thoughts just kind of went on into the fact that I don't have the right to allow the hurts to remain there, but I just want to let God work His work and to let my identity be in Christ.
Amen. Praise God. Daniel?
I'm thankful for the message that Adam brought. I was also pondering how my identity is in Christ, and what God has been teaching me is to walk in that identity and live in that identity. And then I was also blessed by Aaron's message, how that when we walk in the identity of the sons as we're children of God, then there's an outpouring of that. There's an expression of that. So I thank God for that expression that He wants to shine through us. And I desire to be that expression for God.
Amen. Is there any other hands up here? Anybody on the sister's side? And up here. Okay, Jeff.
I was blessed by Brother Adam's message on two levels. The first was just a reminder of those powerful truths of what God did for us and made us to be at the cross. Even though we don't walk in them, it's still truth. And I was blessed, Brother Adam, I'm sure your whole family was rejoicing with you this morning, and how you chose to use a humble example in your life of going to somebody and humbling yourself and rightly representing the Lord through the ministry of reconciliation. I was challenged by that, and right on the coattails of that, Brother Aaron taking his experiences in Africa and reminding us that there's heat here in America, there's suffering in America that we can endure in Christ. And I just wanted to confess a failure in these lines. Yesterday I had such a good opportunity to suffer for Christ, and I didn't. I hedged. Some Muslims were on the farm to butcher chickens, and I guess in the Pakistani culture, if you have a white person as a servant, it's a pretty prestigious thing. And I sensed that some of that was coming together, and I was being asked to do things, and I bristled. First it was 50 chickens to gather, then it was another 30 to gather. And then when it was all done, we didn't have time to clean up. You need to clean it up. And somebody got their car stuck in one of the fields, and I thought, well, I'll just wait to see if they'll come over and ask me for help. And one of the sisters was helping us butcher, and she said, how come you're not going and helping? That was a great question. So I just want to confess that to my brothers and sisters. I think some of the best opportunities I'm ever going to have to be a light in these Muslims' lives is to humble myself and be a servant. And I need your prayers to do what I can't do in my own strength. But I know, as I was reminded this morning, there's someone living in me who humbled himself. He had the, the great emptying of himself. The condescending, I think, is the word Brother Aaron used. And I had a fresh reminder all day yesterday and just went to bed feeling greed. Why am I feeling this way? And it was so obvious. And once again, the Lord often takes a message and just brings together the themes of my own soul so I can repent and go on. But thank you for listening. And if the Lord brings me to mind, please pray for me that I would humble myself in this opportunity, in this little mission field in America.
Thank you, Jeff. I think we can all relate to you. We all struggle there too. Barbie?
I just want to praise the Lord for His overcoming victory and power in the area of fear in my life. And somebody had shared with me recently something that has just really blessed me and encouraged me, is how the bankers, when they are counting the money, they study the real bills so that they can know, they can identify the counterfeit. Then they don't study the counterfeit to, you know, it's not the other way around. And so also, as we read God's word and we study the truth, we can detect the lies of the enemy. That really blessed me.
Amen. Praise God for overcoming victory over our enemies, like fear. Fear is not a friend, is it? Amen. All right, was there any more?
I just want to thank you, Brother Adam, for that message of who we are in Christ. I've been struggling majorly in that area, and just so often allow my circumstances and failures to kind of decide who I really am. But I just wanted to grow in this area, so you can pray for me if you think about it.
Okay, is there one more, or are we finished here? Blessing to hear your different testimonies. Okay, Tanner, do you have a song for us? And then we'll have some announcements after that.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY, or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.